Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, writing his column for Real Clear Politics about the DEI controversy now underway in the Trump administration, following the controversy in the Biden administration, all the way back to administrations since Lyndon Baines Johnson. Peter, a very good evening to you. DEI has come in many guises over the years. It's been represented as equal opportunity. It's been represented as the fair play for government contractors and workers. But since Lyndon Johnson, since the Great Society, it's touched all aspects of our culture everywhere. But it wasn't codified, to my knowledge, until the idea of DEI was brought forward by the Biden administration. Where did it begin most recently so that it is now a controversy? Because I don't remember in the 20th century there being much attention to this. It just seemed fair-minded. Good evening to you, Peter.
Good evening, John. Yes, that's right. We can identify several stages. There was the passage of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, in my view, an excellent development. That tried to guarantee equality of opportunity. No discrimination based on race, public places. Make sure that everybody is treated equally under the law. But the interpretation of the Civil Rights Act transformed things, making it an authorization to achieve equality of result, not opportunity, but result. That brought in affirmative action. That brought in redistribution of wealth. That brought in purging so-called hostile environments, which required regulating thought and speech. So that's been developing. Those bad developments been underway for a long time. But it was really with the summer of 2020, the summer of rage, George Floyd riots, some peaceful protests, but $1 billion of damage done to American cities, that diversity, equity, inclusion really came into focus on the national level. And what diversity, equity, inclusion initiatives, notwithstanding the pretty words that they were used, we're all for diversity, we're all for equity, we're all for inclusion, actually aggressively pursued the opposite. Diversity always meant discriminating based on race to get equal representation among groups and powers of position and prestige. Equity also meant discrimination based on race that was now judged fair, and inclusion meant excluding people who we think had benefited too much, white people, or excluding people with wrong views. And that's the regime we've been living in at universities, corporate HR offices, and in government since roughly since the Biden administration came in. And it's that regime that Donald Trump is trying to overturn.
I read from the original Executive Order 11246, Equal Employment Opportunity, dated September 24, 1965. It is the policy of the government of the United States to provide equal opportunity in federal employment for all qualified persons, to prohibit discrimination in employment because of race, creed, color, or national origin, and to promote the full realization of equal employment opportunity through a positive continuing program in each executive department and agency. That seems extremely sensible. How does that get twisted? Where you think it was the pandemic that made that reading seem malign?
Oh, no. It wasn't merely the pandemic that the reinterpretation as you say, John, of those straightforward lines has been the work of decades. Bakke, the affirmative action case, played a big role here. In that case, affirmative action was meant to be merely a plus factor as between two candidates who are otherwise equal, and was supposed to be used for the purposes to promote diversity in education. But over the years, these intentions, some of which were honorable intentions, were transmogrified beyond recognition to mean the wielders of power and authority have an affirmative obligation to ensure that African Americans and other historically discriminated against members of historically discriminated against races and ethnicities should be placed in positions of power and prestige, at least in proportion to the representation in the population. And moreover, this category of merit or excellence or competence, those are not intrinsically justifiable categories. They themselves reflect white supremacy, and they must be abandoned. They must play second, third, or fourth fiddle to ensuring equality of outcomes based on group membership.
Why did it lead towards whole departments? We read now routinely about how many people are employed at this university or that university. Why did they need whole departments to essentially read the law, DEI? Was there an enforcement mechanism in the departments, or were they just looking through candidates? Why? Why so many?
Well, I think they needed so many because they were not reading the law. They were misreading the law and reinterpreting the law. It took a lot of energy, a lot of effort to turn a mandate for equality of opportunity into a mandate for equality of result. We are talking about massive social engineering. Major League sports do not need massive DEI networks because major league sports really are based on observable merit. How far can you throw the football? How accurately can you throw the football? How fast can you run a 40-yard dash? How fit are you? These are easily measurable, and this translates into victories or defeats on the football field. But in the academic setting, it's easier to fudge the standards. But to fudge the standards, apparently you need a bureaucracy.
You point us to a February 14th op-ed in the Wall Street Journal by Reverend Corey Brooks.
Yes.
Who has an alternative view of how equal opportunity could be applied. How is it?
Yes, it was a very inspiring column by the Reverend, who has spent two decades in the inner city. He's an African-American clergyman ministering to an African-American clergy. And he thanked Donald Trump. He said, the best thing that you can do for my people is do a lot less for my people, because my people were flourishing in the 1940s and the 1950s in Chicago neighborhoods. Then government programs came in the 1960s and induced dependency among my people on government programs, which led to a downhill spiral. We need to get government and its programs out of our lives, and this will enable the churches and other mediating associations and families to teach young people the virtues, the discipline, the responsibility they need to take advantage of opportunities in America. So he's quite grateful as an African American minister to Trump's efforts to abolish the DEI regime.
Is there a refutation of merit-based choices or colorblind choices? Does anybody say that is a problem?
Oh, yes. Because the argument is any system that results in a hierarchy or an office or a team or a unit in which all the races and ethnicities and sexes are not represented equally, if that's the outcome, then whatever is the criterion you're using is intrinsically flawed. And it turns out that merit as a criterion results sometimes in offices or teams with more of one race than the other. So yes, merit is blamed as racist because it doesn't invariably turn out equal representation among racial groups.
It would appear on the basis of the Daily News that once the DEI was identified as a problem, a whole lot of people who are not government have chimed in and agreed. I'm talking about major corporations, banks, universities. Now, they all are not being accused of being discriminatory, are they? They're just doing it.
Well, I think they jumped on the bandwagon in 2020 and 2021. The government was aggressively backing DEI. Secretary of State Blinken under Biden instituted an aggressive DEI program in the State Department. So corporations were getting with the game. Partly what's happened, I think, is that the Trump victory and now the Trump actions are creating a permission structure for corporations to step back. There were efforts to argue that DEI makes corporations more efficient and more profitable. There is no evidence of this. There's evidence that corporations that treat people equally will do better because they're more likely to find talent. But DEI is not about treating people equally. It is about discriminating based on race in order to engineer proportional representation. And that's a betrayal of a violation explicitly of merit and not good for a corporation's bottom line.
Peter Berkowitz, the Hoover Institution, Real Clear Politics.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.